Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Good. Anthony has you well trained. Now, do not tell anyone I said this. Anthony's my friend. Okay? That might ruin my reputation. Okay? You all know what I mean. He likes to pull some pranks every once in a while. And I was telling our brother over here some of the pranks that I have experienced while in his presence. And so, my name is Pastor Mark. Yes, I am a Nazarene elder. Now, Pastor Anthony must be a little gutsy putting a Nazarene elder in a Baptist church to preach. But no, we all love the same God, don't we? Amen. I pastored for 38 years. I pastored in Massachusetts, where I'm from. Because if you can't tell, I have a little accent. Get it out of the way, okay, just so you got the city of Boston. And I wasn't always a believer in Christ. I did for many years in a gang in Boston. If you can believe it, I had hair down to the middle of my back. And I robbed old ladies of their pocketbooks and stole money from the prostitutes and all that good stuff. But then the hand of God said, come follow me one day. And I answered that call, and he changed my life radically. Best decision I ever made in my life was to follow Jesus. And then he had the silliness to call me to preach. I said, I can't even talk straight, and you want me to preach the word? And I said, okay, Lord, I'll go and preach. And so I preached in Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Michigan was way too cold. Phew. I mean, in Boston, it gets cold. But in Michigan, the day I moved in was 15 below zero. And it proceeded to snow every single day for the next 14 days, at least a half an inch of snow on the ground. And I found out quickly that they had an ordinance in that town that you had to shovel the sidewalks after every snowstorm. One time I didn't do that and found a ticket on the church door. Because we didn't shovel the snow. I go, what's this ticket for? Snow removal? What do you mean? It's going to snow in 2 hours. Why do I want to shovel again? And finally, I said to the board, I said, we got to get a snow blower or somebody else that's out. But I didn't come. I came to preach the word and win the loss to Jesus Christ, not to shovel snow. And to the same woman for 32 years. And I mean, it's the best decision you make. It's the hardest relationship, but guess what? I mean, we enjoy getting old together, you know, and she puts up with me. And we have three daughters. I have Abby and Heather, who are 28 years old, and Hannah, who is 21 years old. I wish, you know, I said to my Heather the other day, I said, if being a pop-pop is this much fun, I will skip the children. You know? I mean, I have five grandchildren. It is a blast being a pop-pop, you know? And so I have Aaliyah, Caden, Aubrey, Lincoln, and Lily. And I tell you, I enjoy spoiling them to death. Getting them the loudest toys for Christmas, giving them everything mom and dad says they're not supposed to have, feeding them sugar before I leave and say, bye guys, you know, everything you guys have done to me, guess what? It's Pop-Pop's revenge, you know, that's right, man. And so, but they come and I love when they're running around my house. And so, I don't do a lot of pastoring anymore. My job now is I'm the executive director of Virginia Nazarene Retreat Center. This the best job a pastor can have. I have all the toys in the world. Your youth group spend 2 hours at our retreat center and have youth retreats there. I have a 68,000 gallon pool that hardly anyone uses but me and my wife. You know? get there at 9 o'clock at night, go turn the lights on and hop in a 68,000-gallon pool. I don't even worry about cleaning. I have pool boys that do that, you know. They go clean it, make sure the chemicals are all set, and I just jump in it, you know. It's a beautiful job. I have all the toys. I have axe throwing. I can go play axe throwing, disc golf, all that great stuff. But the most important thing is I get to see souls changed for Jesus. Amen. And a couple of weeks ago, we had 158 decisions for Christ happen on our campground. And that's the reason why we do what we do. Are you serving Jesus? You know, I was at a funeral yesterday. And I discovered that the man's life said more about the gospel than any words can ever say. And I said to myself, I wish I was like that. Even more than I am now, just more like he is. And so, are you ready for the word? I'm going to make a little room because I don't stand still. And so I don't want these to go flying, okay? I'll leave the flowers. I'm pretty sure I cannot hit the flowers. And so, you ready for God's word?
Yes.
Okay, here it is. I want you to hear God's word this morning. So I tell you this, and I insist upon it in the Lord, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and they are separated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. We'll pause there for a minute. You guys have a good imagination? Okay, you guys are convincing me down here. Okay, thanks, man. You responded. You got a good imagination?
Yeah.
Okay. Right down the middle of this sanctuary, there is a line. You notice the sermon title is The Line. Okay? There's a line right down the middle of this sanctuary. You guys are one set of people. You guys are another set of people. What Paul was just talking about was talking to you guys over here. You guys are the sinners, the unbelievers, the ones who do not know God. Paul says that you guys desire the things of this world more and more and more. I know you guys are thankful you're not over here, right? Okay. When I grew up in the city of Boston and my father passed away when I was a very young boy, I got all kinds of trouble. I just give you a little sample of that. But, you know, I stole pocketbooks from old ladies. Sorry, ladies. Please forgive me. Okay? And don't do that now. Okay? But we walked around in the gang. We caused all kinds of trouble. I knew how to run away from the police officer. Okay? I knew how to get through Woolworth, come in the front door of Woolworth, go up the escalator, down the escalator, go through here, come out the back door, and be gone. I knew every entrance and exit to every Washington Street subway station. I knew how all the entrances and exits and how to lose somebody. I desired everything of this world, but nothing of God. That's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4. When we're in that, you guys were there before you accepted Jesus. We wanted everything of this world and the stuff of this world. And when I grew up, I knew nothing about God. My mother was Catholic, my father was Protestant. And they could not agree on how to grow and raise six kids. I'm the oldest of six. And they couldn't decide how to raise six kids, so they did nothing. We didn't have any church at all in our lives. I call ourselves pagans when it comes to spiritual matters. And Paul's talking about that all we desire, and when we're in that part of our life, before we know Christ, is what? We want the things of this world. I strive for all kinds of things. I thought that I needed to go get more and more money so I can get what? More and more stuff of this world. I'm at this point in time in my life, I'm trying to get rid of stuff. You know, I don't need all that stuff. I just told my daughter, if you come over here and get the stuff out of the storage unit here, because I'm not opening it anymore for you. It's all yours. You know, my wife went camping. She came back with more stuff than she went camping with. I go, what is this? Oh, Abby asked me to take it home for her. Well, now, yeah, but now I got to store it. You know?
saying that. You all have children, you know what I'm talking about, okay? But you know, I strived when I was a young man for more and more stuff in the world. And I did anything and everything to get it. And guess what? It meant nothing. Now Paul goes on in scripture and says, you are. Who's you? You. I can keep going, can't I? 107 times I can go here this morning. Paul's saying, you, to the church of Ephesus, you. Who is he talking to? The believer. We're going to talk to this side. You guys are unbelievers, okay? Okay? You guys are not the believers. He's talking to you. You, however, did not come to know him this way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and put on your new self, created to be by God in true righteousness and holiness. Now let's pause again. Oh, wait, we'll get through that. We'll get to the scripture. I remember the day, the Wayham Church of the Nazarene. Well, first I went to the Cleveland Baptist Church. Yeah, I do have some Baptists in here. Okay? And I went to visit my grandma in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Cleveland Baptist Church. And she, you know, on Sunday morning, she says, Mark, we go to church here. And you're in my house, and you're going to church this morning. I said, okay, I'll go to church. I've been to church before. When I went to Grandma Hardy's house, guess what you did? You went to church. And so when she was in Maine, we went to church. And so I said, okay. This big yellow school bus pulled up in front of the, in those days, all churches had yellow school buses.
Yeah.
Okay? That was the busing ministry.
Yeah.
And the yellow school bus picked us up and took us to the Cleveland Baptist Church. It's huge. Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Now remember, we're sitting about four or five rows on the right side, and I remember that the pastor's giving an evangelistic message. And in those days, if you came to the altar, they made you fill out a little card with your name, address, and everything else, and then they sent you mail. Okay, and I was 11 years old. I remember I walked down the aisle and I knelt at the altar there, and my purpose was just to get that card and fill it out so when I got home to Graham, Massachusetts, there was mail with my name on it. And so I came up and I remember the day, that day very clearly. And we went back to Grandma Hardy's house and my aunt called and said, Mark, why don't you call your mother and tell her what you did? And I said to her in a few choice words, because I had a bad mouth then. And I told her where to go. And that I wasn't gonna call mom and tell her anything. That's woo! Okay? And so she called mom for me and she said, hey, Mark has something to tell you. And I remember I said a few words, I got on the phone, and mom said, when you get home, I'm gonna clean your mouth up with soap and all this kind of stuff. And she says, so what did you do today? And just to get her off my back, I said, Mom, we went to church today. She said, oh, I went to church today. I said, okay. She said, what else did you do? I said, well, I went up and I knelt at the altar and she said, well, I'm home and said you accepted Jesus. I said, okay.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah, come on.
And she said, Mark, I want to let you know, I went to the Wayham Church of the Nazarene this morning, and I went forward and accepted Christ myself. Now, thousands of miles apart, God's pre-redeeming grace is working in a young man's life when he didn't even know it. Because I got off that phone and I walked away and said, what's going on? Okay? And so, I heard of Jesus. I heard Jesus later when I went into the Wayham Church of the Nazarene. And I acted on what I heard and it changed my life. That's us over here. That's not them. They're the sinners. Right? Okay? Come on, yeah. Admit it. Okay? We are the ones. There was a line. At some point in time in my life, God moved me to this line. At some point in time, when I knelt at an altar of prayer for real with a guy named Mal Baker, we called him. He was like Pastor Will. Okay? He was my youth pastor. We call him Mally Poo, for sure. Okay? He had a nickname. His wife was extremely loud. If Cheryl came in here right now, we would all know that Cheryl Baker entered the sanctuary. Okay? And at that time, up above the pastor's office in the youth room, I knelt next to a chair and accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I stepped over the line. At some point in time, we all have stepped over the line. At some point in time, we made a decision to follow after Christ. I say it's the best decision I ever made. There's not a single amen in that statement. You guys need to do calisthenics? Okay? But at some point in time, I got to get away from this line. Yeah. And if you continue to listen to the Apostle Paul in the scripture, he talks about the walk. For so many times and years of my life, I was too close to this line. So many times, I stepped back into my old life to experience the things I did with my friends. And then on Sunday morning, I all of a sudden came back over to here and said, oh yeah, it was a great week. I hardly ever picked up God's word. I hardly ever knelt in prayer during the week. None of you do that, right? You all are in God's word every day. You all are on your knees every single time. In the morning, evening, and afternoon. You're consistent. I know I was the only one. I was the only one that had that struggle. Okay? I remember so many times coming to the altar of prayer and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up this week. And they go right back into their week and going back to high school and going back into my life and mess up all over again. And then find myself the very next Sunday right back at the same spot praying to God to forgive me about the same thing that I just got done saying. Paul goes on and talks about many things in the remainder of this scripture. He is talking to you guys, not to you guys, but he is, okay? And what he's talking about is the church at Ephesus. We need to get away from the line.
Amen.
I remember when I was walking as a young man, I tried to stay close to that line without going over it so that I can say, hey, I'm on this side.
Yeah.
I'm okay. But every once in a while, I went like that. Come on, don't be holding it now, Baker. We all know what I'm talking about. You know, every once in a while we do this. You know, we go out with some friends and we do something we shouldn't be doing and we keep doing this. And God is saying no. You drive down the road. And so it cuts you off.
I didn't know that.
You know, yesterday when I went to the scene, I found out there's a lot of people in Charlottesville that do not know how to drive.
Amen.
You know, preach. I'm telling you. And you can lose your truck. Oh, man, you can lose it very easily. Okay? I turned the music up loud. I have a message on my radio. It stops to the message. Channel 63, Sirius XM. Okay? I was all the way here singing worship music all the way to church this morning. Okay? But it's very easy if you drive in Charlottesville to do this, you know? And so, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And Paul goes on here in this sentence, says, therefore, each of you must put out falsehood and speak truthfully of your neighbors. Ooh. Now it's time to get personal, isn't it? Okay? Falsehood means I talk about somebody to make myself look good. I talk about incorrect things about brother and sister in Christ. That isn't the truth. You do knock them down so I look good. None of us here do that. I'm pretty sure because you got Pastor Anthony as your pastor. Okay? Oh, man. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold.
Right.
You know? We don't get angry, do you? Nobody here gets angry. You know, someone does wrong to you, do you want to give them back? Do you think of ways to get revenge? You know? That's when the anger starts to fester in our heart. Do not give the devil a foothold. What is that? You know that, and my daughter works in a nursing home, and she told me that on the psych floor, that they're always taught to stick their foot in the door when they're talking with a patient. Because I said, why are you putting your foot in the doorway for? They close it, it's going to hurt. And she goes, no, Dad. I got my foot in there. I eventually can get my whole body in there to do whatever I need to do to help that patient. If I let them close the door, I'm in trouble. I said, oh. Paul said, do not give the devil a foothold.
Right.
You allow the little bits, constantly in your life doing this. You're giving that devil a foothold in your life that he's going to yank you to places you don't want to go.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, do not give the devil a foothold, and eventually he will. He's a sneaking, skiving little snake. And eventually he'll get his way in there. And you'll find yourself in a circumstance that says, how did I get myself here? You know?
Yep.
And so, then he says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must do something useful with his hands that he may have something to share with me. You know, that when I was a young boy, that spoke to me. I memorized the scripture when I was very, very young. I had Al Baker, who was my youth pastor, said, Mark, memorize this. I said, memorize that? You know how long that is? And he taught me a technique to do that, and I still use that technique today to memorize God's word and hide it in my heart. But I remember, I said, he was the stealer. That's me. I had nothing useful to share with anyone. But now that I do something useful with my hands and I work, God has richly blessed me and Amy that we can go off and bless others. You know, you're not here to take a blessing and hold it to yourself.
That's right, Amy.
Because if you hold the blessing in your life, it will eventually back up and you won't get anymore.
That's right.
It's designed to go in you and out of you. I tell you, the best thing, when I was a pastor, we used to do Christmas trees for the needy, and on the Christmas trees you take an angel off and go buy that gift, and then we would deliver it to the families who were in need. And nobody wanted to deliver the presents. They said, Pastor, you do it. Okay. They couldn't figure out why. I said, because every time I go in the house and I bring gifts that they didn't expect, I get the blessing, don't you? I get my exhaust blown off. I went into a single mom one time and I bought her all the gifts. And she started bawling her eyes out there in the living room. And the kids came up and said, Mommy, when is Santa going to bring the Christmas tree? She didn't have money for a Christmas tree. And so I remember I said, she said, I don't know. I said, don't worry about it. And we had Boy Scout Troop 51 in our church. And they were selling Christmas trees. Last day was today. I went down to Scout Thomas, and I said, Thomas, I said, Pastor Mark needs one of your trees. And he said, why? Because there's a family that needs a tree. And I got a tree, and I left it on the front porch. And I sent her a text. I said, your tree's on the front porch. I have to get to sleep tonight. Go get the tree. And she told me the blessing that was. Do you have the ability? Yes, you do. To be a blessing in people's lives.
Right.
They come across your path every day. You know, sometimes you just buy somebody a cup of coffee who's having a rotten day. Or on Christmas, you know what? I hate shopping on Christmas. Thank the Lord for Amazon.com. You know? By the way, I am done Christmas. Who else has done Christmas shopping? Nobody? Oh, you are? Good job, man. I see, the only one I have to buy for is my wife. Okay, she does everybody else. So I already got my white gloves, okay? Now I'm already done. But you know, you get into, you go into Walmart or something, and somebody gets a price check. Well, they have to go get an exchange of the item because the one end that there's is damaged or something. I always find that line. Okay? And I'm going, oh. You know what I found out? That's the best time to be a blessing. To that person in front of you who has the price check is all aggravated. And everyone who goes through a line is aggravated and negative and nasty through the cashier. I go in there, food line, Walmart, and I'm like overjoyed. You know, I say, hey buddy, how's it going today? And they look at me like, who are you? You are weird, man. But just radiate joy. Because it's joy, right? Christmas, joy. Okay? And you blow people's socks off. You'll be amazed how people are blessed. And then when I go up to the cashier, I said, you know, you're doing an amazing job today. And then waitresses are having a bad day. They come over. I said, I would like to speak to your manager, please. Oh, Peter. My wife says, you are so unfair when you do this. And so eventually they come over and the manager's with them and they say, yes sir, what's the problem? I said, absolutely nothing. I just want to let you know how wonderful a job this waitress has been doing. And I appreciate that. You want to talk about blowing their minds? That, all of a sudden you see the worry come off the waitress's face. But that's what God's talking about. Do something meaningful. Be a joy. Now, here's a hard one. This one might step on your toes. You might need your steel-toed boots for this one, okay? And do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except that which is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What's unwholesome talk? Anything that tears anyone else down. Anything that's negative. It could be a joke. It could be off the cuff. But Paul says, is it benefiting anybody? You catch yourself, sometimes after you say something, you turn around and someone's right there listening to you.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I talk about, you know, I talk about Brother Anthony all the time. See, Brother Anthony's listening on that little device right up there. He's holding it. Okay? But, you know, I can talk about Brother Anthony. But I'm not going to talk about Brother Anthony in a negative way because I have nothing negative to say about Brother Anthony. Matter of fact, you guys are blessed to have Pastor Anthony as your pastor. Okay? Trust me. I've gone to many, many churches in this new role that I am, and filling pulpits all over the place. You are blessed. Okay? And October is what? What's October?
Pastor Appreciation.
There you go. Make sure you blow his socks off. Okay? Tell him I said so. Okay?
Yeah.
You know that sometimes we really, as pastors, don't want you to come up and say, hey, good sermon today. We want you to capture it and live it. You want to blow your pastor's socks off? Go do what the word says. Live out your word. Live out what he preaches to you. Okay? And the church is not just the pastor's responsibility. It's whose responsibility?
Ours.
All of us. Okay? I go in and when I get the chance, I'm the wayward member from the Charlottesville First Church of the Nazarene. God, I'm hardly ever there. You know, I'm at the retreat center doing retreats off in, you know, like places like here. And so I said, I'll show up probably around Christmas time. But I try to encourage my pastor all the time. You know, your pastor at times when you're going through a hardship, that your pastor is taking it to heart. And he is worried about you. I can't tell you how many times that I got up in the middle of the night and my wife would say, what's the matter? And I says, I just got a little prayer. But it's times I can't even talk to my wife about what's going on. And I can't sleep because there's somebody within my body of believers who is struggling. And so I need to pray for them. Your pastor does that, I'm pretty sure. And here's the next thing that Paul means. We, none of us do. I know that. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I sat there and said, what does that mean? I grieving the Holy Spirit is I'm at this point in time in my life, in the line, and God wants me to move where? This way. By the way, the only one who wants you by the line is the enemy of your soul. The only one who wants you to stay here and keep doing this is the enemy of your soul. You know who I'm talking about. The guy with the horns and the pitchfork. Okay? The guy who wants to take you to 18 double hockey sticks. Okay? Let me just get that on the way home. Okay? But God wants you, as I read God's word from cover to cover, He wants you to gradually get all the way outside of this building, so far away from this line, that you're in the presence of God, in the joy, in the peace, and in the things that the saints of the church talk about is evident in your life.
Amen.
I sat there as a young man in this church and heard say that the saint, Louise Clifford, Phyllis Summers, and others who sat there and said, isn't God good? Wasn't the movement of the Spirit so powerful in worship today? And I sat there as a young man saying, where were you? Because I didn't experience that. And I couldn't figure out why. Because I was standing next to the line. I was more concerned about doing this and enjoying the things of my former life when Paul tells me to strip it off and run away from it. That I was more concerned about that than getting deeper and deeper gone. And listen to I got in my 20s where I realized there's something about this walk with God that is more important and deeper and more satisfying than anything the world could ever offer me.
That's right.
And I started getting serious about my walk. I started opening God's word and reading it, not for the check my box and say, I read my word today, but to get into a point where my life connects with God's life. My walk, my daily walk with God gets closer and closer. Where I'm over here, no matter what goes on in my life, no matter what the circumstances are, I have the joy, I have the peace. Peace that passes all understanding.
Right.
I sat there yesterday in this funeral, and I sat in funerals with my mom, my sister, and I sat in these funerals, and I see people who have had a relationship with God, and that it's okay to step into eternity. It's okay for the family that they step into eternity. Because why? Because it's right here.
Right.
It could be in Him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When He tells you, He starts, you know when He's talking to you. I remember getting sweaty palms. I remember getting all nervous. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I knew what I needed to do. I know what I need to do now. Man, I can't wait to get on my knees when the Holy Spirit starts talking to me. Because I don't want to get to a point where my actions grieve the Holy Spirit. If He says, change this, then guess what I need to do quickly? Change it. What we sometimes do is what? I don't know, God. I want to come over here a little bit. You keep doing that, and you're grieving God. You keep saying no to Him, that's when you grieve. Think of that word grieve. I don't see a God on all day. I'm disappointed in you. I see God stopping to sob. Mark, you made the wrong decision. That's not where I want you to go. That's not good for you. Don't go there. Do this. And then Paul gets this list. You know, Paul likes lists. He said, get rid of all bitterness. We're not bitter, are we? Something bad happens to us, we don't turn bitter. We don't want to go get that person. You know, we sit back, bitterness is me sitting back thinking of everything I could do to get back at that person for what he did. And how bad I can make it even worse than what he did or she did. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Grumbling and slander and every form of malice. But then Paul says, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ Jesus forgave you. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for the forgiveness of God in my life. He yanked his pumpkin from the city of Boston out of the mighty grid of sin, and now he calls me to preach. And I don't know, but okay, Lord, we'll go with it. Because you know more than I do. It's the best decision I ever made. What about you?
Yep.
Best decision you ever made? And when I go down through this process and I get to see forgiveness happen, compassion happen, mercy happen within the body of Christ, I'm just at awe at God's goodness.
Amen.
And then chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Be an imitator of Christ. Who? What's an imitation? Imitation of vanilla tastes like vanilla. Okay? Imitation of anything is something that represents something else. And God is, and Paul is saying, be an imitator of Christ. When you leave this place, are you an imitation of Christ? Now, I had in one of my churches some waitresses. And I said, so what's the worst day to work as a waitress? I was having a conversation with them in the house. And she goes, Pastor, you don't want to know. I go, yeah, I want to know, really. Tell me, what's the worst day to work? Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
I go, really? I said, Sunday afternoon when all the church people come in. They're the worst.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, they're the most demanding. I go, really? They're the cheapest givers, and then the nastiest if something goes wrong.
Yep. Yep.
I said, really? Now, I was pastoring in Michigan, and so Virginia is better than Michigan, isn't it?
Amen.
It's much warmer here. Okay, we don't get cranky when it's cold. Okay, but really, are we being that when we go outside this place? You come to church this morning doesn't make you a believer in Christ.
That's right.
Just because you come in here and you can check the box that I have to attend the church on Sunday morning doesn't mean a hill of beans.
That's right.
What it means is when you go outside those doors and you start and shoot your mission field. Your mission field, not mine.
Yep.
I have my mission field, you have your mission field. And when you go out there, are you an exact duplicate of the original Jesus Christ? Mm. Are you his hands and his feet? Do you react the way Jesus would react? Mm. So it's not our actions sometimes, it's our reactions.
Yeah.
You know, that waitress might be having a really bad day. The cook might not be doing his job. And you might have sole service. And who do you take it out on? The waitress. Well, waitress. Okay? Blow her mind one of these days. Ask for the manager and say, she's doing a wonderful job. And then put the tip on the table to match your words. Actions speak louder than words.
Amen.
Be imitator of Christ. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ Jesus loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let me ask you a question today. Is your life a fragrance to God? Is all that we just got going through, broad sermon, okay? I don't believe in, I mean, shotgun shells, okay? It would get you in all kinds of ways, okay? Is when you walk out today and you start living your life or your previous week, let's go back to your previous week. Sorry, it's a flea, Pastor, it's all okay. Okay? Let's go back to our previous week. What we did this past week, was it a fragrance that God got? There's John. He's doing a wonderful job today. He's being an imitation of me. Or is it like going into the bathroom sometimes? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's be real now.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Because sometimes our life is like that. God goes, oh, hey, what is he doing? Right? Come on. This is humanity. It's real.
This walk is not something that we wish-wash and do. This is real life that you and I are living out to this world. It's called being a believer in Christ. And your life should be a fragrance to this world. When you walk out there today, you need to stop being a fragrance. You've got to get away from this line. You got to stop enjoying life as this dabbling back and forth. Because it doesn't mean anything. You got to stop coming way on over here. Sorry, whoever's online. But come all the way over here. That is joyful. She is smiling like crazy. She is having a blast for Jesus. And over here is joy and peace and comfort and God's presence is there. And you need to go and find it for yourself. I wish I got there a whole lot sooner than I did.
Amen.
I wish it didn't take me into my mid-20s to figure it out. Now you have an advantage today. Especially you young people, all these young people. Do it now. You'll be so close to God when circumstances come into your life later. And you'll know exactly where you are and what you need to do.
Yep.
And so, we're going to sing a song. I forget the name of the song. Okay? But God knows what it is. And we're going to sing a song. And one of the best things, you know, when I was in church growing up, we had altars in my church. What hurts me today is we stopped doing pastoral prayer. You know, I love, when I was a pastor, we had pastoral prayer. That's where we came down and we prayed for the needs of the church and people's lives. But the best decision you can ever make, okay, don't drink the Holy Spirit of God in this morning. When we sing this song, and God's speaking to your heart about something you need to change in your life, because you haven't been a fragrant offering to this pastor, and he needs to change something, then you need to come in. Neil will stand here in front as an act to the response to God's movement in your heart. Okay? I found out in my life, even today, yes, I won't tell you how old I am. Okay? I'm not old. Okay? But I learned that as I got more mature, the importance of me stepping out and coming forward when God speaks to my heart. I need to take care of it immediately. Because if I wait, 99.9% of the time, you will never do it.
That's right.
And then the Holy Spirit will say, Scott, why didn't you respond? Why? I have so much more for you. It's so much better if you just keep growing with me. Keep getting more like Jesus. Become like me. Who's going to help us?
Everybody.
Okay. Okay, you don't want me to. That's for sure.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.